This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's December the 1st, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriBuyer Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, the WTO isn't dead yet, and those involved continue to say the hard and fast deadline for December, well, that's not a deadline at all. And Secretary Johans continues to hammer the European Union to step up the trade table and match what he calls the very ambitious U.S. WTO proposal. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll visit Burnside's lab here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I to hear more about that ethanol research Paul Cooley and I spoke of just a bit during yesterday's version of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at 305.5, up 1.5 for the day. The March contract up a penny and a quarter, 322 the settlement price there. December corn at $1.89.25, up 1.75. In the March futures, 203.75. They were up 2 on the day. May contract, 212.25, 2.25 higher. December futures at 239.5, up 1.75. Soy complex now. Soybeans, January contract, 559.75. I'll get my tongue untied yet. 559.75. Settlement price for the January beans, they were up a penny and 3/4. The March futures at 568, up 1.75. And the May contract up 2 cents at 573.25. November futures for next year at $5.87, up 0.5. December bean meal, 172.30. They were up 50 for the day. December bean oil up down 1 cent at 21.04. From the Mercantile Exchange, January feeder cattle at 117.65 were up 75 cents. December live cattle at 94.37.5 were up 92.5 cents. And the December lean hogs at $63.35 were up 85 cents for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at the futures market is Dan Zwicker of AgriBuyer Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I tried to add a December contract to the soy complex. I suppose there might be a few that would like that, but probably not. Let's talk about these beans and what the chart is action has actually looked like over the past couple of weeks. It's been very strange, and does it give you any cause for pause as you look at those charts in the bean pit?
Well, like I was telling Dave this morning, at least the January futures here is showing signs that it wants to make a stand here at this 550 benchmark level. Beans have a tendency to move in 50-cent increments. After the we were down here once here in early October in the 550s, and then after the October crop report, we were able to muster enough strength to go back to the 604 area in the market, then faltered on bicker crops or bicker yields, and now we came back here to the 550s. Actually, we slipped underneath the 550s here for a half a day or so during this holiday Thanksgiving type light volume break day. So, but Monday we were able to manage to close with a key reversal up after making contract lows. So you call that a reversal? That's a key reversal since it's coming off of contract lows. And the market's been able to demonstrate at least an element of follow through. I mean, it's not what I would like to see to really say that we've got a more meaningful low in place, but at least There are signs here, or at least encouraging signs for those that want the market to go up, that the bean market is trying to make a stand here at this 550 area. And probably short term, we're looking at halfway back off of that, like a 604 high, which kind of puts it kind of in the mid 570s. I think if you could get January beans to start mustering some closes above 580, I think that would kind of say that maybe we kind of had a pretty good low in place here when we dipped below this 550 area. But that's about all I really have on the charts. The cash chart, of course, looks a little better than the futures market because we've had basis narrowing off of extremely sloppy basis levels that was brought about by the big crop, and then you add Katrina and all the transportation problems along with that.
And did the lows in the beans for the cash hold or not?
Yeah, they sure did. They actually, we only gave back, I think we gave back about 62% or so of what the advance was. I'll pull that up here in a second here. My computer seems to be kind of logged up here.
That's okay.
I got about 10 programs running at a time here. But no, the cash bean chart, we had a low here back on October 10th, and that was like 515. We were able to manage a rally all the way into the November crop report, which we had a high about 575. So that was about a 60-cent advance. Here on Monday, we closed down here around, November 29th, we closed down here at 537. So we kind of gave back about 62%, and now we're trying to regroup and try to add to that a little bit. Yesterday, we added about 3-4 cents to it, and now if we could add another 2 or 3 cents, at least it begins to show hopes that we had a pretty good decline, and now we're trying to hold and possibly start a sideways to higher climb in this cash market.
62% is important because it's a Fibonacci
number? Yeah, it's off of a Fibonacci retracement. We look at 38% and 62s as well as a 50% retracement.
Do you know the history on that one? Why is
Well, Fibonacci, that's supposed to be, they're supposed to be viewed as natural numbers. They're basically, it's you know, 1 plus 2 is 3, and 2 plus 3 is 5, and 3 plus 5 is 8, and 8 plus 5 then is 13, and you just keep going to infinity. Those numbers have a tendency to show up more often than not. A lot of people kind of refer to it as 5. We've got like 5 fingers, 5 toes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're more natural, or they're more consistent, or they're use more, they show up more. When I play craps at the riverboat, I usually play the Fibonacci numbers. Sometimes they work real good, other times they don't work at all.
I'm sorry, it's just great to have some. That's very funny. Somebody who follows the markets and likes to gamble, and farmers are that way too. I just get a kick out of
it. Well, I had pretty good time on the roulette wheel once playing those Fibonacci numbers. I had a relative, an in-law relative, couldn't understand why I was playing those numbers and was winning so bad, and I tried to explain to him that I was playing these Fibonacci numbers, and he was just totally blown away.
That's fun. All right. Tell me about the Fibonacci numbers, if there are any, in the corn charts at this point.
Well, the corn market is also very similar as beans, trying to kind of make a stand in here. I think it's real important from a technical perspective, that March corn kind of hold this $2 area. Now, we've been down at this $2.50, and after today now we're, I guess, where are we at? We're about 204 or something like that. Yeah, we're going to close at 203 3/4. So if it, on deliveries here, we had heavy deliveries yesterday. The old trader's axiom is always to buy heavy deliveries on first notice day. That kind of helped give corn market a little boost. It's coming off of some deeply oversold levels. So if you can get December corn here to kind of rally during the delivery period, that really bodes well that maybe we did find a low in the futures market. And we're ready to kind of maybe go into more of a sideways type trading range to start the new year. Fundamentally, we got a you know, we got big problems in both corn and soybeans. We just got too big a crop around here to market. It's going to take some time to kind of move this crop into the market channels and transfer ownership from producers to strong hands. But I think once that's over with through the winter months, you know, things can get mixed up as we start a new growing season.
Anything else to add before I let you go? Maybe something from the Merck for the day?
Well, it's all green over there.
You bet.
Cattle market is in extremely good shape here, but I think a lot of the strength that we're seeing in livestock is somewhat weather-related as we woke up to snow here this morning.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. We love to talk to him about the markets and the Fibonacci numbers, whether he's playing roulette at the boat there in Peoria or playing the markets there in Bloomington and the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange. He's with AgriVisor Services and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own teaser forecast for tonight across the two-state region in northern and east-central Indiana. He says it'll be cloudy. There'll be some light snow elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows this evening, says Ed, will range from 5 in northwestern Illinois to 23 in southeastern Indiana. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds, some sunshine. Highs will range from 22 in northwestern Illinois to 42 in the far south. The extended forecast for Saturday in the north, mostly cloudy, some flurries in central sections, mostly cloudy, some mixed precipitation, that arriving during the afternoon. Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment to take a look at the agricultural news. This is the Closing Mark Report on WILL AM 580.
In agricultural news, World Trade Organization officials are now saying that failure to agree on agricultural trade issues won't kill negotiations at the upcoming ministerial conference in Hong Kong. But WTO official Mike Moore says countries need, in his words, to ensure their differences aren't so great that they'll be allowed to kill the conference. Moore, chief of the WTO from 1999 to 2002, says nations need to take home agreements in the areas of services, intellectual property, and industrial tariffs in return for concessions in agriculture. The Hong Kong meeting begins on December 13th. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, the European Union accused the United States and other nations of focusing exclusively on farm trade at the expense of other parts of liberalizing world trade, repeating it will not make a new offer to cut its agricultural tariffs. Yesterday, U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns continued to hammer the U.S. stance that Europe must make broad-based reductions in its domestic farm supports and its tariffs on imported ag imports. Otherwise, Johanns sees little chance for progress in the Doha round of WTO talks.
We applaud any reform. It's not just one product. It is reform that needs to take place in agriculture all across the world. Our proposal is ambitious. There just isn't any doubt about it. It has not yet been matched by the European Union.
Johanns says he's again traveling to Geneva this week and will be there pretty much all weekend in an effort to gain concessions from Europe ahead of that Hong Kong meeting.
My hope is that as we continue to move through this round, the European Union will step up, that they will match our ambition. They stand to benefit a great deal also. The European Union has actually very successfully done business in the United States. About 20% of our ag imports come out of the European Union. They are actually experiencing growth.
Developing countries meeting in Brussels on Wednesday said progress on agriculture was key to the global trade talks. Trade and agricultural experts released a report yesterday saying the disagreement between the U.S. and EU on reducing ag subsidies could lead to legal problems. Oxfam International highlights three American crops vulnerable to WTO lawsuits: corn, rice, and sorghum. The report also notes eight ag products in the EU could be vulnerable: tomatoes, tobacco, butter, wine and spirits, citrus juices, and processed fruits. In other Doha news, the Group of Seven's financial ministers are meeting this weekend in London. The U.S. Treasury's top international policy advisor says the meeting will underscore the benefits on reaching agreement on lowering subsidies. House and Senate GOP leaders are putting their heads together to devise a strategy for the remaining weeks of the first session of the 109th Congress. Leaders are attending a closed-door retreat on Maryland's Eastern Shore to discuss, among other things, how to deal with the last two fiscal year 2006 appropriations bills, and if it's even possible to finish this year's budget reconciliation measures to cut taxes and federal spending. Oil prices this week have reached a five-month low in trading. One reason is that the East Coast continues to see warmer-than-usual temperatures, spurring thoughts that U.S. inventories of heating oil are sufficient. U.S. meat industry officials are expressing disappointment over Tuesday's delay by South Korea in opening its border to U.S. beef. Various news sources say farmers threatened South Korea's government with massive demonstrations if it removed its ban. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that illnesses traced to fresh produce are on the rise. The paper reports that fruits and vegetables are now responsible for more large-scale outbreaks of foodborne illnesses than meat, poultry, or eggs. The paper pointed to several key factors, including the centralization of produce distribution, a rise in produce imports, as well as the growing popularity of pre-chopped fruits and vegetables. Five products are especially problematic: tomatoes, melons, lettuce, sprouts, and green onions. The Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City says farm credit conditions in some parts of the West and Midwest weakened in the third quarter, with more producers falling behind on loan payments and asking for extensions. Many bankers are saying rising energy prices affected third quarter results, but the full impact won't be seen till next year. The 10th Federal Reserve District includes Kansas, Colorado, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Wyoming, the northern half of New Mexico, and the western third of Missouri. And federal bankruptcy judge Robert Drain Wednesday struck down bids by U.S. prosecutors to delay a request by Revco Incorporated's unsecured creditors to subpoena records related to the company's collapse. Drain said the committee could go ahead and demand documents relating to the hidden losses that triggered the company's meltdown last month and to Revco's $583 million initial public offering in August. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, researchers here at the U of I are working to diversify the product lines produced by dry grind ethanol plants. The Burnside's Research Lab at the University of Illinois is home to an ethanol plant, well, at least a very small one. Ethanol is produced from corn and is used as a renewable fuel. What's left from the process is called DDGS, or distillers dried grains and solubles. It's a cheap co-product used to feed cattle, and that's about all. The little ethanol plant at the U of I is research that could change the dry grind ethanol industry in a big way, says Vijay Singh of the Department of Agricultural and Biological Engineering.
And the way we do that is we fractionate the kernel before it goes into the fermenter so that what's going in the fermenter is more starch, and therefore you'll get more concentrated ethanol at the back end.
That means it takes less energy to get the ethanol out of the corn. It's very good news, but there's even better news from the research. This ethanol production plan diversifies the process, producing two new high-value products: corn germ and corn fiber. Now, these two products are separated from the corn kernel before it is made into ethanol. And unlike the distiller's dried grain, these are both very high-value products.
Let me give you an example. DDGS right now sells for 3 to 4 cents per pound. If you recover germ at the front end of a dry grind plant, you can sell that germ for about 11 to 15 cents per pound. The fiber that you recover can be used for recovery of other valuable co-products, such as corn fiber oil. These products right now are selling in U.S. for about $8 to $10 per pound.
The new dry grind process under development at the U of I allows an ethanol plant to diversify its product line. The research could make corn processing so valuable that a plant no longer would rely on ethanol as its primary source of income. The corn fiber can be further processed into very high-value products, and the corn germ, unlike the distiller's dried grain, can be used as a feedstock for a wide variety of animals, including hogs and chickens. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
We're joined now by Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, to take a look at today's cash grain market. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm very well. Tell me about this cash grain market. We just heard a story about ethanol, of course, that creates some locally higher prices than if you happen to be in one of those areas that has an ethanol plant. Not everybody is able to have that kind of draw in their area. What kind of cash prices do we have across the Midwest for the day?
Well, I was just looking here today, Todd, at this cash, you know, the cash basis on corn. And, of course, everybody knows it's narrowed up significantly, but I think it's important to see how that's happened. And what I guess the first point here is that the way that it's happened is that futures have come down. And in the case I'm just using locally here, the futures are about 12 cents lower. And since I went back to October 15th, about 45 days ago, and the cash corn basically is been stable. Like January corn is about 2 cents lower tonight than what it was on October 15th. So that's kind of how the basis is narrowed up. And of course, it's even more so on the nearby corn. It's down about futures down about 15 cents in the cash, up about 8 cents over that same period of time. So we're seeing that happen. I guess my point here is that there's the futures have come down, and that's how the basis is narrowed up, but the deferred futures haven't come down as much as the nearby futures have, so the basis still has some work to do, probably.
The point, I suppose, is that as we go through expiration for each of the months, we tend to be about 12 cents higher and then trade that down on the new month. At least that's been the way it has been the case
the
last two or three months.
Yeah, that continues to be the case. And so the basis has done some work. If you have to sell cash corn out here, the basis doesn't look too bad, like for January corn, but if you look at it versus later in the year, if you have those futures locked in, you probably can see that basis continue to improve.
And how's the soy complex held up?
Pretty similar. I don't have those numbers right here in front of me, but pretty similar, I think, results that you'd find.
And then if you take a look at what's been happening with freight around the Midwest and down the Mississippi and Illinois rivers, is it finally settled back into place?
Yeah.
I know it's at a higher level, but it's finally settled down?
Yeah, really stabilized, but like you say, at a higher level because the fuel prices are still higher relative to a year ago.
What's the most often question you're asked today by your clientele?
Well, I think cash flow planning. How do we get things lined up here for the January cash flow needs and March 1st cash flow needs? And I think that's where understanding how this basis comes into play, as we talked about here a couple of weeks ago, on using some strategies to maybe get some cash generated and still maintain ownership in the market.
And speaking of cash, your prices there at the elevator for the day?
$1.77 for cash corn, $1.80 for January, And beans are $5.38 for both now and January.
We appreciate it, Bill.
Thanks, Todd.
Bill Mayers with Rochag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us on Thursday afternoons here on AM 580's Closing Market Report. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Union for Striking Decatur Teachers says it's asked District 61 school board members to meet with them at 5 p.m. today. But a spokesperson for the school district says they haven't received a request to meet. A strike by Decatur teachers is in its second day. Negotiations broken down over work schedule issues, along with salary and benefits. 27-year-old Maurice Wallace of Normal is being charged in the death of an Illinois State University student whose badly burned body was found in a burned-out Mississippi chicken house. Authorities in central Illinois say Wallace will face first-degree murder charges, concealing a homicide and theft of a motor vehicle in the death of 21-year-old Olamide Adeoye. A bond hearing for Wallace is scheduled tomorrow. South Bend's mayor says he wants all of Indiana in the central time zone. Mayor Stephen Leckie wants Governor Mitch Daniels to support a statewide referendum to decide the question. He says recent public hearings have shown overwhelming support for Central Time. For a disease affecting tens of millions of people worldwide, the 267 HIV/AIDS infections reported in Champaign County since 1981 may seem small. But Julie Pride of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District says they're still seeing new patients in 11 East Central Illinois counties, and many of them also show symptoms of other diseases like TB and hepatitis. Today is World AIDS Day, and the Public Health District is offering free HIV counseling and testing today until 4 p.m. at its main office on Neal Street in Champaign and by appointment at its satellite office on Broadway in Urbana. A former bodyguard says George Ryan carried $100 bills in a wad of cash in his pocket and sometimes peeled off money and gave it to his children. Sergeant Michael Hoffman of the Secretary of State's Police Force testified at Ryan's racketeering and fraud trial today that the former governor and former Secretary of State always seemed to have plenty of cash, although he never saw him use an ATM machine or go to a bank. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Hey, Jim, do you know what agriculture and the AIDS pandemic have in common? And it's not a joke, by the way.
I certainly hope not. It's a serious subject, but why don't you tell me?
The World Initiative for Soy and Human Health, which is an initiative that's sponsored in part by the National Soybean Research Lab here on campus, University of Illinois, the Illinois Soybean Association, and the American Soybean Association, in which they use soy protein to help feed parts of Africa that are very infected by the AIDS virus. And it allows them to have a protein source and to maintain their health.
Come to think of it, I do know something about this because I was reporting the other day about the Future Foods Initiative at the U of I, which is working specifically on this project on making soy protein available as a high-protein supplement in countries where there are high rates of HIV/AIDS infection among the population, teaching people there how to use the protein because it is such a high-protein source, and that is seen as something that can help people with the infection.
In fact, it is. Thanks much for visiting us with the newscast today. We appreciate it a lot.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Pete Levitt to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Pete.
Hi, how are you doing, Tom?
Oh, you know, I'm doing very well. Speaking of Africa, we haven't checked in on the maize crop there in quite some time. How have they been holding in for this growing season?
Well, they continue to have showery weather in their eastern Corn Belt region down there, and most of the western areas continue on the dry side, and the drought actually is getting a little bit worse than there. So it's a mixed bag, obviously.
We're looking good in the eastern half of southern Africa. In the western half, though, dryness looks like it's affecting part of the corn and probably will persist for a while.
Let's stay with the southern hemisphere and all the cropping areas, including Australia and South America, please.
Okay, in South America, the Argentine finally got a little rain this past week that they needed for their wheat belt and finishing the crop as it fills and matures. They still are a little bit dry up north. They're hoping to get a little bit more rain up there. In Brazil, it's hard to find fault with the weather in Brazil. The weather is pretty good, plenty of moisture around, and it keeps getting well distributed. And the temperature's a little on the cool side, but that's probably better than heat.
And then very quickly here in the Midwest, more snow on the way and
colder temperatures? Oh, yeah, but just light stuff. Really, the feature in the Midwest is the winter has arrived in force, and it's going to be cold with temperatures averaging anywhere from 8 to as much as 20 degrees below normal on certain days next week. It's going to be really cold. A few clouds over this weekend with just some light snow flurries here and there. The whole thing should clear out as high pressure moves in about on Sunday and then continues into next week in some very cold temperatures.
Pete, we appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
For your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey here at the WILL radio stations, I'm Todd Gleason. This has been AM 580's Closing Market Report. You have a very good afternoon.